welcome. Thanks for coming. Corey Thompson, when I don't have my makeup on, and when I have my makeup on, I'm Phoenix Blue. I've been clowning for a pretty long time. And some years I've done it lots and lots and lots, and sometimes not so much. But it's been over a period of like 25, 26, 27 years. It's a long time. But it's always been Phoenix Blue. Phoenix Blue has had somewhat different costumes, but the idea has been the same. The basic change I made in costume was I used to have clumpy feet, and now I have more precise feet, which really changes your how your character translates. I was always amazed at how much change the feet made. It took me a couple times to sort of get my sea legs back about who this character was. Well, what we're going to do today is have kind of an overview of clowning, what clowns mean, a little bit about the history of clowns, the different kinds of clowns, what in the world clowning has to do with a faith life journey, which actually is quite a bit. And there are a couple stories in the Bible that I'm going to relate to you as invite you to think of as maybe being a humorous story, which we don't always think about. And then later on, about two-thirds of the way through, probably half two-thirds, I'm going to put on my makeup in front of you so you see how that goes. How many people here have been clowns before? Oh, good. So we got about a third of a seated group. That's good. Do you do lots of clowning?
Not anymore.
Well, I'm going to put on my makeup in front of you. During that time, I go from the verbal to nonverbal. So if you ask me questions during that time, I probably won't answer. Because in my mind, I'm making a journey to another place. And then we're going to do a little clowning thing. So, what are the pictures that you get in your mind when you think about clowns?
Squirting water.
Squirting water.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. And big feet.
Yep. Big feet. Yep. No, they've been there, done that.
They make you laugh.
Huh? Make you laugh. That's right.
Little kids cry.
Little kids cry. Sometimes they do. That is right. You learn in clowning that sometimes in the development of kids, there are periods of like 6 months where they are just scared to death of you as a clown. And there is nothing that you as a clown can do to build a bridge. So the most graceful thing you can do is leave. Or to give them enough space away so they don't feel like don't look at them or something. You gotta give them space. And 6 months later, they'll be coming up to you. But and also, some clowns are kind of rough and tumble too. I mean, some clowns scare me. All right, in a circus, clowns are rarely the main act. Clowns are usually interwoven into the program. And they punctuate something. They're a diversion. They kind of, when the clowns come out, you go, oh goody, what's gonna happen? You don't go, oh no, here come the clowns, usually. Mm-hmm. And you're sort of looking forward to some sort of nonsense, some sort of foolishness. But as I say, they're rarely the main act. Once in a while you go to a clown show, but usually it's just that spice kind of thing. When you see a clown, you know a clown. If you're walking down the street and you come across a clown, there's not much chance of mistaking a clown. Usually they're wearing bright or oddly designed clothing. They carry 9-foot frogs or other unlikely events. And for a clown, that's very normal. I mean, the absurd is normal for a clown. A clown just can't be too regular and still be a clown. A lot of times we do, in our minds, connect children with clowns. In fact, most of the clowning I do is with adults. But I think what hooks with children is the sense of childlikeness as much as children. And there are a couple of things I'd just like to say about what some of those things about childlikeness and how that relates to clowns and... Hey, welcome.
Hi, sorry, I'm late.
That's good, all right. Children, if they are loved and have their needs met, have a sense of joy and a sense of wonder. They don't worry about the weather tomorrow. It's just, wow, gee, what are we going to do now? A clown in a clown's best moment is like, okay, what do you think we should do? Just enjoy this moment, thank you. You know, as adults, we can't always do that. We have to worry about the weather and some other things, but just for these moments, you know, we can have these little childlike times. Children are open to change and newness. They don't know that change is supposed to make us upset, because everything changes all the time. How do they know where they're going to wake up? They went to sleep in one state. You know, they wake up, parents take them somewhere, and they're somewhere else. Hey, change, that's the way life is. Well, clowns are the same way about change. It's like, oh, well, what will happen now? It's an openness, a welcoming to change. Childlikeness has a sense of the present. I'm not thinking about tomorrow. I'm not remembering yesterday. I was at clown camp a couple of weeks ago, and one of the best quotes that I picked up is the nonverbal keeps you in the present. Oh, that is a truism. Because when you are in, when I'm doing clowning nonverbally and I'm up to somebody and we're doing something, we're not talking about the grocery list here. We're not talking about how do you feel in that, in the regular kind of a way. All we've got is what we're doing right here. That's all we've got, is this little moment. Childlikeness means a sense of enthusiasm. Children don't normally feel depressed. They're ready to go. And a child is vulnerable. And a clown is vulnerable. The clown goes out there to take the fall. When the clown trips, you know, like when we're walking down the street and we're trying to be cool, man, you know, we trip and go, oh, well, pardon me, that didn't really happen. And the clown goes, oh! You know, I mean, that's part of the deal. Okay. With clowns, clowns have an ability to see things with fresh eyes. A trip is a great experience to land up in a new place. Ah, what did we find after we tripped? No, wasn't that fun? We may not have found that. Whatever. Clowns, the clown eye, in the theory of clowning, we talk about blurring the sacred and the profane. An example of that might be, there's a film of Charlie Chaplin, who, by the way, do you know that Charlie Chaplin himself, his very self, entered a Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest? He came in third. So just to get a grip on reality. Anyway, so Charlie Chaplin, and he's not really a clown as we think of, you know, makeup and costume and everything, but it's the thought of the clown. So he goes into this very, very fine restaurant, don't you know, very fine restaurant, and they're all the waiters, and white linen, oh, so wonderful. All these wonderful dishes are prepared and raw. We know we're at the right place, fresh flowers on the table. So, he studies the menu. So many choices, so little time. And finally he makes his decision. Tells the waiter. And he waits. And he's in his chair. And he has his napkin. And all these very high society people come by. We're definitely the right place to be. Finally, in time, the waiter comes. And of course, the waiter has a covered dish. Capture the heat, keep it just right in this wonderful heat.
the waiter sets it on his plate. And with great flair, reaches down, takes off the top.
You know what's happening? It was one pea. He had ordered a pea. That's what he had ordered.
So he takes his silver, the right fork and the right knife. He cuts the pea. Spears the pea. So good.
Now, blurring of the sacred and the profane. That's taking it a little bit, but the idea is, usually think of one pea. Psst. How many people would one pea feed in Holden's kitchen? Not many. Not even if you made pea soup. Wouldn't go very far. But it is taking this little thing that you wouldn't think, oh, poo-poo. You know, so what's one pea? And making it into this great big deal makes you think, what about that pea? It's the thing that we would normally think, oh, that's worth making. And say, oh, well, doggone. Maybe there's something here. And you know, a fresh pea in the spring is hard to beat. It probably was a fresh pea. You guys want to come forward a little bit? Get into the word. Come on. We're kind of, you know, we've got the one pea over here. Come on. There are all kinds of clown motifs around, too. You know, like the jesters.
You're okay?
In the king's court. And you know why the king kept the jesters? Because the jesters told the king really what was going on. Now, kings had a very bad habit. If they didn't like what was being told of them, they'd say, off with your head. But they did say that to the clown. Because the clown could come and say something totally foolish, totally inappropriate. And because of the license, yes, not this kind of costume, but the idea is, because of the license of being the clown, you can say all this weird stuff. It's like the little kid in the parade who said, oh, the emperor has no clothes. And everybody else said, oh yes, the emperor boy is really dressed on the old boy. You know, nobody else wanted to be found out that they didn't have the power. And the kids said, well, geez, he doesn't have any clothes on. That's the kind of thing the clown does. It's sort of blurring this, getting the clown's eye, different perspective on the thing. It's kind of like last night at the worship service. The towel. It has a lot more meaning than the towel. Causes you to think, oh, it's about that pea. Oh yeah, the pea. Oh yeah. Clowns generally love bad situations. Think of the clown events that you have in your life that you don't think of as clown events. For instance, say you have a very important place to be. I mean, a very important place. And you better be ready. You better be dressed for it. You've got to be there on time. Everything. I mean, you have got to be there. So what happens? You get out to the car and realize you forgot your glasses. Well, you can't go without your glasses. You run in. Okay, get back out to the car. Okay, ready to go. Oh my gosh, you got one brown sock, one black sock. Oh, back to the house. Back to the car. Okay, now you're really ready to go. Okay, turn the key. Oh, the car doesn't work. Oh, there. Finally, you get the car going. By this time, you're driving fast. And you're supposed to be on East Park and you're on West Park. You can't find it. Okay, that's the kind of thing that drives us totally nuts. But it's a clown act. I mean, that's what that would be the kind of gig you'd expect a clown to pull out. Well, do we ever, in our lives, when something sort of small goes wrong and we get all shook up about it, do we ever think of it as a clown event? I mean, what would a clown do? It's like when you trip. You know, clowns go, well, what do you expect? And we say, well, no, come, never mind. We had a cat that used to fall asleep by the heater. And he'd sit on top of the heater and he'd go, oh, this feels so good. Oh, feels so good. And then he'd fall asleep and he'd go down and go, oh, that didn't happen. No, no. You know? And he really was the clown cat. Oh, that didn't happen. kind of all what clowns are about. Now, the word clown comes from the same derivative as clod, as clumsy, as cluster, as community. Oh. So all those clodbusters that you knew, all those clodbusters in my heritage personally, were they clowns? How interesting. Clown, clod. Clown, clumsy. Okay, so we're still, what does this have to do with the story of faith? Well, think about when, in the Old Testament, when there's a story about Abraham at that time, and Sarah. And there was a message sent from God that Abram and Sarah should have a child, a boy child, who would be the... Well, Sarah was subject to what we in modern times know as infertility. No baby. No, not. Well, Abram was taking the word of God pretty seriously, like, okay, well, we've got to have this son. So Abram and Hagar, who was the concubine, had this son, Ishmael. And Abram's thinking, well, we got that done. We're ready. God makes another visit and said, Abraham, you and Sarah are supposed to have this son. You all right? We got Ishmael. No, no. Abraham, it's supposed to be you and Sarah. You know what the Bible says? Abraham fell on his face and laughed. God, you had to be there. Well, anything, we tried this. We're just being practical here. God says, no, it's got to be you and Sarah. Sarah hears this in her tent. She starts to laugh. She said, I am 90 years old, dried up like a prune. You expect me to have a baby boy. Well, then we know what happened. Da 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 da. Isaac, which means?
Laughing boy.
That's right. Laughing boy or laughter. I've heard laughing boy before. I've heard laughter. That's good. And Ishmael actually did not suffer any bad repute. I mean, he had good, you know, reputation all the time. I mean, he didn't, you know, like, he wasn't in bad shape with God or anything. But Isaac needed to do what Isaac needed to do. So Abraham and Sarah were laughing in the tent. And here shows up Isaac. Think of Noah. Noah, pillar of the community. Noah, not living near big rivers or oceans. God tells Noah to build an ark. And like Bill Cosby says, Noah said, what is an ark? I mean, Noah must have looked like a total idiot building an ark in the middle of dry land. And it's how many cubits by how many, what is a cubit? You know, here, got this message to go and build an ark. Noah was a good clown. Noah did this. But it is sort of a humorous story. Think of Christmas, for heaven's sake. Christmas. Oh, come on, come Emmanuel, and ransom captive me in Israel. Oh, God. We're waiting for this Messiah to come. We are waiting. This whole nation is waiting for the Messiah. Okay, cool. Where does the Messiah show up? In the barn? Gee. Somebody's pulling our leg here. This long-awaited one shows up in a barn. And of course, the biggest joke of all is biggest joke in the Bible. New Testament, I'll give you a hint. What's the biggest joke in the New Testament? Come on. Bum 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 ba da ba da 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 bum bum. Yeah, Easter Sunday. For a long time, the church would, actually on Easter Sunday, tell jokes all day long. That was the celebration, was telling jokes. Ha! The biggest joke. that once he was dead and now he lives. My goodness. And that's kind of like the clown. When a clown takes a fall, like they tell you in clown school, if you're ever feeling sick and feel like you're going to pass out, get out of the way, because if you fall down, people go, ha, 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 and they want to help you up. Because the picture of the clown is the clown gets back up. It's the resurrection. The clown gets back up. When clowns put on makeup, that is part of the makeup process. I happen to be a white-faced clown. And the white makeup is the mask of death. And that is true in any culture. Any human being that dies gets lighter than when they were alive. Doesn't make any difference how much pigment they started out with, but they get more faded when they're dead. Okay, so putting on the mask of death. But because it's a sign of resurrection, it doesn't stop at the mask of death. And you will see, like I use this sometimes, the mark of the clown. In my makeup, I have a red dot. It's the mark of the clown. This is the sign of new life. Not this on the paper. The mark of the clown. Because then a clown chooses what kind of shape, color, what kind of makeup, what kind of clown character, what kind of persona they're going to have. And so you have the white mask of death. And one of the signs of death is not speaking. That's how that ties in. But then you don't stop with the white face. You put on the color in addition. Now, a quick aside. For the first 25 years of clowning, I was truly nonverbal. I would not, somebody could cut off my arm and I'd go, but wouldn't speak. Now I use vocalizations. Where I've been working lots with dementia and Alzheimer patients. And sometimes, sort of, it's just so much easier when they say, do I know you or who are you? Sometimes I'll whisper in their ear, I'm a clown, because they need to get that. And try and, you know, mime that out. I mean, life is too short. There was a wonderful postcard in the post in the store, and I didn't go to get it when I saw it because, you know, we're going to run back to the room for 25 cents. And it said, preach the gospel, use words if absolutely necessary. And I missed getting one of those. Janet Grant's going to look for one. But vocalizations I will use, like going up, I'll use those. But I don't carry on a conversation. Even when, you know, somebody, my arm disappears or something, you go, oh, that's not what I do now. Oh, gee, let's not even think about that. All right, let's see. Clowns use props. A sense of exaggeration, pantomime. If you're looking for something. You know, it gets the message about, oh. You know what's really funny? I get so annoyed I can't see a darn thing through this. I believe my own props, you know. And one of the reasons that this works, it's an exaggeration. You know, you don't have to figure out, what is this? It's bigger than usual, it's more colorful, it's whatever. Not more... It's actually more fragile than it looks. I thought, oh boy, this is going to be great. I can throw out the suitcase. Oh, wrong. But anyway, use props. One of my favorite props is my ever-loving duster. This goes for everything. You can dust yourself off, get an ice cream cone. I was dusting somebody off one day, and they said, ew, you were just dusting people's feet off. So I'm like, oh, sorry. All right, let's see. The audience usually identifies with the clown because we all have this thing when we're trying not to be foolish and we know we're looking foolish, and when the clown does something foolish, we can go, yeah, we know how that goes. So a lot of times the clown can take the pie in the face for the audience. There's this thing that happens, and when you're clowning, or at least the kind of clowning that I understand, is I try not to make the person the butt of the joke. Or if they're a butt of the joke, it's a very short one with a quick back out again. The idea is not to be putting people down. The idea is to take the pie in the face in the middle. Also not such a bad theological concept, actually. Good clowning demonstrates the affirmative power and clear vision of a human being living in the grace of God. Good clowning finds the beauty in the world and the people around us. And for heaven's sakes, has a sense of lightness about ourselves and our situations, and doesn't take everything, including ourselves, so deathly seriously. Now, we're about halfway point, and I've been doing a lot of verbalization about the nonverbal. Do you have any kind of questions, comments at this point before we roll on to points unknown?
Sure.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a mime and a clown?
I didn't go into the types of clowns at all, did I? A mime, I think, can be a clown. A mime is less interactive, I think, with the audience. A mime may be demonstrating a lot of, you know, the old box routine or, you know, climbing stairs or whatever. It's less interactive than a clown is. A clown is in community. A clown is with people. I think mimes can be clowns. Clowns can be mimes, but in the just using those titles, I would say that would be the biggest difference in label. Clowns, as kind of we know them now, whiteface or hobo clowns. Hobo clowns came out of the Depression. They're a really American clown, and the idea behind that was when people were hurt badly in the Depression and were out looking for work. I mean, and would hop trains to get to a new place where there may be jobs. And what they would do when they were coming into a city is they'd hop off the train a few miles out of town and wipe off their mouths. That's why you see the hobos with the white mouth. And that's supposed to be really, I mean, that's really supposed to be how it happened. The Harlequin clown, which is like, you know, the alternate pieces, that's French. France and England were the roots of many kinds of clowns. There are Auguste clowns, which is a kind of a fancy name for the buffoon type with it. Usually they've got bigger features. My face, like a mime, is black and white usually, with maybe only the slightest dot of red. That would be a mime. You'd have no, I mean, it's black and white. A white-faced clown, it comes a little bit farther, usually with a little bit more color, a little bit more. Okay, then the Auguste is lots of color, and they use great big props and blah, 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 you know, much more like that. My character, which is basically white face, comes from the more or the trickster is also part of that tradition. The Auguste is the fall down, the big, you know, bucket of water, and then the hobo. And the hobo is a kind of character clown. Ronald McDonald would be a character clown. Or a washerwoman would be a character clown. Now there are happy face clowns and sad face clowns. And part of this is what you want to do, part if you want to develop a clown character, part of it is what your face does. It's very bizarre. Some people's mouths really turn down. And if they make themselves up as a happy face clown, it just doesn't fit. You just go, oh, what's wrong? You know, it doesn't fit. Most people's mouths are kind of straight, so you can choose, but some people definitely have the downturn. And they're better than what their clown character is about is, well, you remember Emmett Kelly? Mm-hmm. Oh, Emmett Kelly. And one of his very best bits. I didn't see the light. He'd go and get a sweeper. Sweep the light up, and then we'll go over there. Go over there. Okay, well that's, and how, okay, how does that work? It's that, I mean, we all feel like that sometimes. We all feel like poor babies. Oh, that's the bridge the clown has into the audience. You feel like, oh, poor him, can I help him? You know, and that's how you, that's the invitation to the interaction. I think so-called happy-faced clowns are really disgusting when they're just overly joyous all the time. Don't you? I mean, wouldn't you just like to clock her? I mean, I think you've got to have some dynamic in there. And there are some times when I'm supposedly a happy-faced clown, I'm quite sad. And also, hobos can be quite happy. So different kinds of clowns. Let's see. Those are the three kinds. Okay, any other questions? That was a very long answer.
Resources.
Resources, yeah.
I live in a real rural place, and I don't have access to going to workshops and things. Are there videos? Are there good books that you would recommend?
Yes. Oh, what a nice segue.
Oh, well.
Funny you should ask.
Yes.
This book is in the library, or in the bookstore. This is one of the best makeup books out of all times. This has got a lot of color pictures. It is, because of all the color plates, it's like $25. But it's got all kinds of ideas about what kind of eyebrows. Now, it would seem to be an easy thing to figure that out, but when you're sitting there with your face, you go, ooh, what do I do? So you try out some of these different things. This is really a wonderful, wonderful book. They also give examples of, well, okay, here are mouths, different shapes of mouths. And the only way you can figure out what's going to work is to try it. We're going to do, today is the lecture time with my doing makeup. Then on Tuesday, we're going to do some, how do you move when you're a clown? I mean, it's all very easy, really. It's like, we're going to practice being trees, you know, stuff like that. And then the next day, we're going to work on props. How do you use props? I mean, what would you use this for? What are some other ways you could use this? And on Thursday, we're going to do rudimentary makeup. What I'm going to do on Thursday is bring a Polaroid camera, and people who want to try makeup, by coming on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you don't have to end up being a clown. I mean, these are just workshop kinds of things. But clowning is not really a book process, it's a doing process. So we're going to do these little sort of snippets. Usually a good clown class is going to take a minimum of 10 to 12 weeks. Because you need to let these concepts sort of savor in yourself and figure out which way you want to go. And, you know, come up with a clown name. And you start developing your clown persona, because it's not a matter of just putting on a costume and putting on a face and going out and doing this. You have to sort of know where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. How would my clown character respond to that? You have to think about, how would my clown character move? How would my clown character move if my clown is very happy? I was was really impressed. You know, and all those kinds of things. So that, but nonetheless, this is a fabuloso book. And it tells you some ideas about how to put on makeup, like you have to powder. If you put up this great big cloud of powder, it goes all over the place. And if you don't make a big enough cloud, it doesn't work. So don't try to be too neat. It is clowning after all. This is also a very, very good book. It's written by Richard Snowberg, who is the person who runs the clown camp, which is where I went in June, where there are about 200 clowns that come from all over the world. Mm-hmm. That would be something that would be worth going to. It's about $600. It's $450 for the registration, which is for getting a wonderful notebook and food and lodging and classes for a week. And you have to bring $150 for using for going to their prop store, because you just can't. I mean, it's a $600 trip, even if you sit on your budget, I'll tell you. He is kind of the current maven of so now you're a clown, what do you want to do with it? And he does something called the Caring Clowns. If anybody is interested in doing clowning in hospitals or with kids or with whatever, this is the place to be. This book is a very practical book. This is $12, I think. And this is a book that probably doesn't have the word clown in it. In fact, I'm sure it doesn't have the word clown in it. But this, Sue Bender, has anyone read Plain and Simple?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this is Sue Bender again. And Everyday Sacred, without the use of the word clown, this is what clowning is about, is how do you approach this thing in your day? What is your day like? What is the essence of truth in your day? Anyway, but this is a great devotional type book. It's almost a poetry book in a way. It's like wordy poetry. It's a book of poetry. Also Floyd Schaefer, who is somebody that I learned from when I first started, has some tapes. If you check with me later, I've got one of his booklets here. You can get them through Augsburg. Mm-hmm. He has a couple of videos and a little handbook. But that's some place to go. Other questions?
Do you always use the same makeup?
Yes.
You're always the same exact?
As much as my hand will allow me to do. Sometimes it goes, but the plan is to end up the same, yeah. It is considered totally inappropriate to steal another clown face from somebody. That is the highest form of insult in clowning. In fact, if you go to steal somebody's face, it's not going to look the same on you as it does on them. So I'm not sure that it's ever really possible, but it's a big no-no to steal a face. And some people have their faces registered. Probably insured by Edward Lyman. I don't know.
It's a copyright.
That's right. Okay, we're at 20 of 3. So, any other particular things? I think what we're going to do, my clown name, by the way, is Phoenix Blue. Somebody asked me how I got my clown name. I went to a clown class and they gave us an assignment to come up with our name. I had a whole week and I couldn't think. So I thought, what am I going to do after I'm in a clown class? Oh. Well, as luck will have it, I recently had purchased a car. The color of that car was Phoenix Blue. And of course, the story of the phoenix is quite wonderful. The phoenix that rose was burned, consumed in the ashes, and rose back out again. Great resurrection symbol, obviously, and the Ben Shahn watercolor paintings of the phoenix I always thought were quite wonderful. So that was Phoenix Blue 20-some years ago, and Phoenix Blue it is today. Also, I mean, blue is one of my sort of core colors. That's one of the colors that I bounce off of. Now, some things you can tell about me by looking at my clown costume. One is, I do like flowers, I do like nature. So I put that into my costume. I like to not have to worry about my costume and stuff getting in the way, so I don't wear the big, puffy kind of costume. I like to be able to do these kinds of things. I like bright colors, I like primary colors. Yep, I do. So this all, you know, comes into play when you're putting your clown thing together. I think I'm going to go ahead and do the makeup now. And then we're going to do just a little clowning thing together. With any luck, we will be visited by another clown by the name of Tilly Minx. And after we say hello to Tilly Minx, then I'm going to put on a cut from Sweet Honey in the Rock called Shoe Fly, Don't Bother Me. And we're going to do a condensed version of what happens when you put on clown makeup. Thinking of when you put on the mask of death, what is it you want to be dead to as a clown? Deciding what it is. And so you're shoe flying. What am I going to be dead to? I want you to do the shoe fly, don't bother me. We're doing a little action, you know. Okay, so think about what it is you'd like to be dead to. You don't have to tell anybody, but just when it comes time for shoe fly, just shoo those little things away that you want to be dead to. You know, I don't want to be impatient. Shoo fly, shoo, shoo. And then the verse, there are three verses. I feel like a morning star, and I feel like a rainbow day, and I can't remember the other one. But what is it you want to be alive to? Whether you're a clown or not, as a person, what are some of the things that you value that you want your life to be like? What do you want to be like? What do you want to be alive to? Feel like sunshine day. What is that? What's your sunshine day? So we'll do a little sheep fly. And then we'll offer you a red dot as a sign of the new life that's coming. And I think we're done. Okay? All right. So, here we go. Now, we are at Holden Village, and of course, electronics are not. Well, we've got an electronics expert. Oh, cool. I think I know how to do this. Because I have to go and use the CD later, but I think everyone would be a good clown.